us. And I know that a lot of you wonder about, you know, the passing of our son. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I just have three short things. Number one, when Ricardo was looking at Mackenzie, who noticed that? That is only an earthly proudness, love, so happy about his daughter. But God said, that's how I look at you. God looks at each one of you like that, just like Ricardo was looking at Mackenzie. Whoa, was he ever proud. And God is so proud of each one of us and looks at us like that. I told the ladies yesterday, he carries your picture in his wallet and shows everybody, this is my kid. This is my child. So I wanted to bring that up. And then I did not mention this yesterday. I know Clifton may mention it, but, you know, here's the thing. We lost our son. It'll be a year in just less than a month. And so we had been contemplating on that. What are we going to do on that one-year anniversary of losing our son in a tragic farming accident? And I've known for years, because we've had other painful things happen. Of course, that one, and Gerald and Laverne were with us during that. He said some of the hardest times, they were with us in the hardest time of our entire life. And but I've noticed that God, have you ever noticed this? He compensates you for your pain. He does. He compensates you for your pain. And I thought of many Bible examples, but Hannah. Hannah was tormented by Peninnah. You know, Elkanah made a couple of, or what was her husband's name? That wasn't Elkanah, was it? Anyway,
I have a hard time remembering my name.
anyway, the husband had two wives, number one problem. And one of them had children, but he loved Hannah, but she couldn't have any kids. And it was painful for her to be tormented day and night by this Peninnah. She just hated her. And so anyway, make a long story short, Hannah not only was given one son, but she was given other children. Five more children. So God compensated her for her pain. And so I wanted to lay that scripturally out before I said this. As we were contemplating this month coming up, we just didn't know what we were going to do because we didn't want
to
be
We want you to
there.
Be the first to know we're going to have another baby. I'm sorry.
Stay out of this. Okay. So I'm trying to be serious.
Okay.
I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So we were thinking about this, the anniversary of the most horrible day in our lives. Now, what do you do? You know, we didn't want to be there. We didn't want to be where we live. We didn't want to be anywhere. And a friend of ours, and this started 9 years ago, but a friend of ours in January began to tell us about this movie that he's putting together. And it's a God-ordained Western, a Christian Western, and it's too much to tell you, but it is totally so God-ordained, and he sat in our living room in January and invited us to be a part of this, and as it turns out, we're going to need to be in Oklahoma filming. You know, we're going to have a big service. October 16th falls on a Sunday, so we're going to have a service at our church. We're going to preach. That's what we do. Kelly would, he'd say, Dad, just preach. You know, that's what he would do. And then he would say, yeah, go on out and make that movie. Don't be hanging around the graveyard. Yeah, he would. He'd say, go make that movie. He'd be so excited. Kelly would be so excited. And so we're going to get to go to Oklahoma and be in this Christian Western. Be watching for it. It's called How the West Was Won. And it's a true story about a circuit riding preacher back at the turn of the century, the man who wrote the movie. This was his grandfather. And he's written this, his grandfather's life story. How he started out working in the whiskey stills in Tennessee and got run out of town by his family and got on a mule, took a Bible, and headed west. Won souls, raised from the dead people, and it's just, isn't that just the most awesome thing you've ever heard? And so, you got movie stars here in your church. Movie stars! And they're leaving our names the same. We're the only ones that have the same names. And then
I thought that'd be a better drawing card in the theaters.
the guy doing the movie. It's Dave Hinton. He's an international singer and songwriter. But he said, what better cowboy name than Clifton Coulter, he said. And so they're going to leave his name the same. And we own a ranch and hire this preacher to come. And anyway, it's a wonderful storyline, and it's going to be a soul-winning tool for churches. So we'll make sure Gerald gets a copy and y'all get to watch it. It's supposed to be out probably the first of the year. Amen. We love you so much.
You forgot to talk about the tapes. You're seated. Okay.
I sell mine, but he gives his away.
She can sell hers. I have to give mine away. Well, they're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me. Looking for a man who's filled with the Holy Ghost, and all I got to do is act naturally. I'm excited about today. You know, I used to come down here when they had the mole camp meetings. You know, now they're having the mini camp meetings. You'll get that in a minute. Mini, mini, mighty mole, you know. And this thing, Gerald, you've got her too cranked up. Or am I too anointed for my equipment? Jerry says, you know, I'm trying to be serious. You know, I try to be serious. I really do. I really do. There's just some things that's funny to me, you know, and I just see the chance to say something, and I like to say it. And I don't ever plan to be funny. I come down here one time to Gerald's. He said, I want you to come down and just make my people laugh. I come down trying to be funny, and I bombed out. And I told him, I said, that's the dullest crowd I ever seen in my life. And so the next time I come down, I didn't even pretend to try to be funny, and everybody started laughing and having a good time. So, well, we are going to have a good time today, but we're going to have a good time. It's kind of like coaching your kid into taking castor oil, you know, being able to get people to laugh. You know, if you can keep people lighthearted, then you can stick them once in a while with something heavy, and they'll get it. Come on, I believe that. I mean, who wants to go listen to somebody that's boring? Well, you don't like to listen to somebody that's boring, or you wouldn't be in this church, amen. Gerald Rutherford is one of the best preachers I've ever heard, amen. And some of his analogies, I mean, he just tears me up with his analogies. I love his analogies, and they're always meaningful, and they always bring a point. And of course, Shirley's praise and worship. I mean, you can't stay if you go to sleep with her leading praise and worship. That's for sure. Praise God, I tried, but I couldn't. I didn't. I love it here. I love this church. I love you people, and I see your faces, you know, from weeks after I leave. I do love you, and we're gonna have a good time. Here's the thing that I know about ministry. You know, ministry. I found out a long time ago that ministry is. We make the word ministry sometimes too complicated. And I think ministry is just sharing information. You know, when we know something, when we've got something within us, and if it ministers to us and means something to us, then we ought to want to share it with somebody else. And it's just sharing information. And it's one thing about it: you can't give away something you don't have. And so many preachers, you know, I see preachers, you know, back during the Word of Faith movement. You know, everybody wanted to be Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and all these guys, and they'd get their message down, but they didn't have what they had in their heart down, and it didn't mean nothing. You understand what I'm saying? When they live by what they preach, you know, those guys live by what they preach. Kenneth Hagin, I think he believed what he believed, and it worked for him. And so when a person, Andrew Womack is a person like that. Andrew Womack believes what he preaches. He lives by what he preaches. And so you can't just listen to him preach and say, I'm going to be like Andrew Womack, amen, until you get what Andrew Womack's got. And it's the same way with ministry. You're not going to be able to minister like somebody you've seen minister until you get in you what that person has in them, because they're sharing the information that they have within them to that person. And it's like trying to give away love. You know, you can't love somebody if you don't know you're loved. It's hard to love somebody else when you don't know you're loved. It's hard to get your faith to operate if you don't know that God loves you. You know, I used to read that scripture all the time. It says, faith which worketh by love. And I've shared this probably every time I've been down here. And you probably think, hey, is that all you know? That's all I need to know for now. Yeah. It's got me this far. Amen. But it says that, you know, that circumcision or non-circumcision, or it says in Christ Jesus, circumcision or non-circumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. And I used to read that all the time, and there was a lot of people talking about walking the love walk, and they was telling you all the ways that you were supposed to love the walk, love walk. You just never let anybody get to you. You just never let anything bother you. You know, there's all these things. It's all superficial to where I'm going to have to love you in spite of you. And I've said this, I know, a lot of times down here. You know, loving somebody is like being friendly to a dog with mud on their feet. You know, they're going to get on you. You know, they're going to make a mess out of you. And sometimes it's easier to love somebody from a distance. Amen. Come on, how many of you know that? I know that you just thought of somebody right then when I said that. That you really love them, but you just soon they stayed at home. I heard this guy say this one about somebody ugly one time. Said, you know, you can't help but being ugly, but at least you can stay at home. Well, I come out today. Praise God. But I was studying that, and so I tried my hardest to try to love people, you know, out of what I thought that meant. And see, when you try to do what the Word of God does by head knowledge rather than heart knowledge, it's just superficial. It may do the person that you're ministering to some good, but it don't do you any good, and pretty soon you're going to burn out, and what good is that? Man, if you're going to minister to somebody today, we need you somebody out there tomorrow ministering to somebody else, amen? You don't need to burn out. And so when I started looking at that scripture one day, I was reading it again, and I said, Lord, I'm just having a hard time loving everybody. I love people. I really do love people. And I've always said I could be a good pastor if it wasn't for people. You know, it's just hard for me. You know, people's involved. Somebody says, are you a pastor? Yeah. Where are you pastor at? Well, I don't pastor. I'll bet you're a good one. I don't have a church right now. I'll bet you're a good pastor. Come on. I called Rod Buxton one time. I used to call him all the time and complain. He'd listen to me. Rod's a patient man. He said something to me I've never forgot. He said, you know, the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, this is not a hard job. He said, it's an impossible one. And I thought, when he first said this is not a hard job, I thought, let's switch churches, you know. But then he finished by saying, it's an impossible one. And what he meant by that was God give us this calling, and if we don't trust him in it, we're not going to make it.
Amen.
And it's the same way with you. Every one of us is called. Come on. You say, was I called? Yeah, you got here, didn't you? Are you saved? Come on, let me see your hands. How many in here are saved? I'm really counting the ones that didn't raise your hand. You're the one that's going to get it. So if you're here and you're saved, you were called. Amen. Jesus called you. The Bible says no one can come to God except the Spirit draw him. And so you're called, and so you've got a ministry, but you've got to understand some things, amen. It all has to be based around what God has done. This is what Gerald said this morning. It's not what you do. You know, we're not human doings. We're human beings, and God has done something for you, amen. And he's done the same thing for every one of us. That's the great thing about God. He's done the same exact thing for every one of us, and his name is Jesus. And so we have what God wants us to have to be able to do everything that God wants us to do. We've got it all now. Andrew's been teaching a series. I don't know if you've noticed it on television or not. You've already got it. I've preached that for years. He stole that picture off of me of the dog chasing his tail. And then come up later and said, could I use that? I said, it's too late. You've already started using it. I said that one time. I was preaching in a meeting one time, and nobody was listening to me. I said, how many of you is in here as Christians? And they all raised their hands like you guys did. We had some liars in there too, and they all raised their hands, and I said, you know, a Christian is like a dog chasing his tail. I said, if he'd just stop and look, he's already got a hold of it. He don't need a hold of it on both ends, amen. He's got a hold of it. And that tail belongs to him, and he's trying to get something he's already gotten. How many Christians do you know does that? And you know what? A lot of pastors and a lot of ministries helps them. Yep. They tell them all the things that they need, all the things that they need to press after, and all the things that they need to go after. And I've said this before, you know, if you get on that treadmill, Satan will pay your light bill for you. He'll make sure you got plenty of electricity, amen, to keep that thing going. He will. He'll help you with it. Come on. He'll even help you with it so much that you'll start complaining about the other people that's not doing it. And you'll start comparing yourself with them. Yeah. Is anybody in here today? It's going to get good after a while. I want to tell you that God loves you before we leave here. But that scripture, I went back to it and I thought, man, if I can just walk in love, if I can just walk in love with everybody. And so I made an effort to go to some of them people that I didn't like and try to love on them. And the same thing happened that happened before. As quick as I turned my back, when I got home, I had a knife in it. Come on. And so it's hard to love people. But you know, and I said, God, I've tried what you said. It's been hard on me to do what you said. I'm having a hard time loving everybody like you said. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, that's not what that scripture means. He said, I said, faith which worketh by love. And he said, I'm talking about you've got to have an understanding of how much I love you before your faith will work. Oh. Amen. And when you understand how much I love you, he said, then your faith will work, and then you can love them people by faith. Yeah. I can do that. I love you in the Lord. Come on. I love you by faith. Isn't that right? And I said, well, Lord, that really sounds good, but I haven't heard anybody else preach that. I said, that really sounds good. I said, give me an example. He said, okay. He said, wake up some morning thinking that I don't love you and see how much faith you've got. I can tell some of you woke up like that this morning. You won't have any faith if you don't believe that God loves you. And it has to be unconditional. It can't be because I know God loves me today because of what I did yesterday. Most of you would say, I know God don't love me today because of what I did yesterday. But it doesn't work either way. God loves you. He proved it. How did God prove how much he loved you? Jesus. Has Jesus changed? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if God loved you, amen, the day you got saved by Jesus, he still loves you the same way. Yeah. Amen. He loves you. Can I tell you again that God loves you? Amen. He really does. He really loves you. And I want you to see some things here. I've got some scriptures. I really have. But I'm going to read them. And Jerry asked me this morning, she said, you have any idea what you're going to do? I said, God, don't tell me what I'm going to do until I get ready to do it. I'll mess it up before I get there. I'm serious. I'm with God. When God gives me a message, I'm with God like some people are with a word of knowledge. You know, God gives somebody a word of knowledge and they turn it into a paragraph. God's not going to give you a paragraph of knowledge, amen. He's going to give you a word of knowledge, and that word of knowledge will mean something to the person you speak it to, but your paragraph won't. Come on, is anybody listening to me? So, here it is. This is in Colossians. We're going to start reading in the first chapter. And, of course, Paul, you know, he gives his credentials. You know, Paul, that's a good thing to be able to do, you know, to give your credentials to somebody, amen, when you get ready to talk to them. Come on. You can say, I'm a born-again Christian, washed in the blood, washed in the blood. Praise God, I'm washed in the blood. You can say something like that, and they probably won't listen to you. But you could say, you know, I'm, you know, I once was lost, and now I'm saved. You know, but don't start talking about how bad they are and how good you are.
Come on, come on.
Amen. Don't do that. and a testimony. Listen, please listen to me. I know that there's people say, oh, that person has a tremendous testimony. You know what? We've all got a testimony. Everybody's got a testimony. But a testimony, listen to me now, listen to me. A testimony is not what you used to be before you were saved, amen. A testimony is what you've been since you've been saved, amen. The Bible says that true prophecy is a testimony of Jesus, not a testimony of you, amen. So true prophecy is who you are now. What's God done in your life? Boy, I tell you what, if there's ever a time that we can start talking to people about Jesus, it's now. How many has noticed, amen, that the world is not like it used to be? Amen. And it changes day by day. Day by day. If you watch the news, if you can stand to watch it long enough, I can't stand to watch it hardly, but if you watch the news, it changes day by day. Scriptures are coming to pass, amen. The Bible says that the world's going to get worse. Listen, we're not on a world-saving mission, amen. We're on a rescue mission, amen, to rescue the perishing. We're not going to change the world when the Bible says that the world is going to wax worse and worse. You're not going to change the world. You may change the world for God, but you're not going to change the world for the world, amen, because the world is going to stay the same and get worse. It's not going to get any better. Now, economy can fluctuate, different things can happen, but I'm going to tell you something. The world is just, as far as the sin problem goes and all these things goes, it's just going to get worse and worse. But economy, listen, how many years ago, Jerry, did God speak this to my spirit? I don't know how many years ago God spoke this to my spirit. When I first got into ministry, I've been in the ministry now for 34 years, spoke this into my spirit that economy was going to be what caused, amen, the great revival at the end of time. I believe that. I believe that people, amen, are going to even, now listen, when we're talking about revival, we're not just talking about saving the lost, we're talking about what Laverne was talking about. We're talking about Christians getting on fire for God. How many of you have experienced this in your own life? You had a good job, you everything was going good, you know, you're Christians, and you're praising the Lord every Sunday, and then all at once, the source of income stopped. And then you begin to think, wait a minute, my sufficiency might not have been in God. Are you following me, what I'm saying? I hate to see that happen in anybody's life, but, you know, this happened in my life, in my lifetime. Since I've been a Christian, I thought my source was good. I thought, man, God's really blessing me, everything's going good, and then all at once I didn't have that income. And then I thought, wait a minute, who was I trusting? Was I really trusting God, or was I trusting that paycheck on Friday? Come on, does anybody, I know this area knows that. Because I know since I've been coming down here, you lost your underwear. and your overhauls and stuff, you know. The only thing you got left is sitting on the corner smoking your cigarettes. Amen. And that's even changed. Come on. So, what was your sufficiency in? You know, what was your trust in? Was it really in God, or was it in you? But here's the good thing about that. When you find out, amen, that God is your source and not all this other stuff, that puts you in a position of ministry. Yeah. That puts you in a position to be able to speak into anybody's life. Come on. Because they all have to listen, because they can see. And just like what Gerald said, you know, hey, are we living this around people? You can talk to people all you want to, and if they see one thing in you that doesn't line up with what you say, you've lost your credibility. So the best thing to do, here's the best way to keep your credibility with the lost world. Keep praising God. Paul said that to the people in Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, finally, brother, rejoice in the Lord. He had a lot of things to say, and then he said, but here's how I'm going to sum this thing all up. Rejoice in the Lord, and again, I say rejoice. He wanted to make sure that you heard that. He wanted to make sure that we heard that. He wanted to make sure that we heard what he was saying. You mean to tell me after all this other stuff he talked about, this is the summation of it, rejoice in the Lord? It is. Because he said some things, amen, that we can rejoice in. And we can rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always. And then the key to it is this. Here's what the key to rejoicing to the Lord in all the time. Always rejoice in the Lord. And then he said, and let your moderation be made known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. When people see you rejoicing in the Lord, they'll say, what are you so happy about? Jesus. I'm happy about Jesus. I'm happy that my life, amen, is in the hands of God. He's going to take care of me. Amen. I saw a motorcycle out there that somebody rode up here this morning, probably to give to me. I don't know for sure, but I felt like the Spirit of God was speaking that to me. I got to be careful about saying things like that because I. How many of you remember when we set the tent up? It was 20 years ago. 20 years ago we set that tent up, and I sat down beside little old Richard Pierce. And he had that good-looking Ford truck. You know that little old Ford pickup truck with a short bed on it? That little orange and kind of orange and orange. And I just sat down with Richard. I was just kidding. I said, Richard, I believe the Lord's telling you to give me that truck. I never said anything about it. Never thought any more about it. Well, I don't know what it was. About a couple of weeks, he called me up and he said, I haven't been able to sleep since you said that. I said, Richard, I was kidding. He said, no, you wasn't. He said, God wasn't kidding. He wants you to come down here and get that truck. Oh. I said, I'll be right there. And I come down and got it. So that made me do the same thing with that motorcycle. I don't know. But anyway. yeah. All right. But you know, when we can rejoice in the Lord, and people's going to say, how can you stay so calm? How can you stay the way you are? Moderation means that you just kind of leveled off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but it's at a level higher than down here, amen? How many of you know that praise is at a level higher than grumbling? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Matter of fact, if it's high praise, it's as high as you can get. And so if you're rejoicing to the Lord, amen, and so you're at a level, amen, above, way above what they are, come on. If you walk up beside somebody in the grocery line and they're complaining how high the groceries are, amen, and you're saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Look, coffee's went up again, praise God. And they're going to say, what in the world's the matter with you? Let your moderation be made known. You're moderating, amen, you're staying, you're not getting all bent out of shape. Amen, because God's got things under control. Amen. Come on, is anybody in here today? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, you can win a lot of people, Lord, being friendly to. I like to, I always want to call Shorty Tiny, but yesterday I was in a, I shouldn't say this about where I was at, I guess, but I got beside this guy. We was at a park. And how many of you know you don't line up in a park? I mean, it wasn't an amusement park. But we were standing beside each other. We were in the bathroom. And anyway, when we got over to get ready to wash our hands, he was big as Tiny back here, or Shorty. And I was with this guy that I had graduated from high school with, and he joined the Marines right after he was out of school. And his name was Bird Luckett. And Bird, if you turned a broom upside down and stood Bird beside of it, they looked just alike. In high school, with the flat top and all, you know, and he's fatter than I am now. That just thrills me. I just love stuff like that. Yeah. But this other guy was huge. I mean, he was big, and I said I was going to do what I usually do. Come here, Ricardo.
I don't know.
Come here. No, I'm not going to do anything bad. I'll get up beside some guy like that, and I'll be standing around, and I'll say, get out of my way, you big sissy. And you know, they'll look at me like that, and then I'll laugh. I always laugh. I've always been quick to laugh. Because one of these days, I'm going to get knocked cold. I know I am. But, you know, that just kind of breaks the ice with them kind of guys. And I'm older, too. I get away with a lot more. Now, if I was their age, I, and you know, I, but I after sizing him up I didn't know whether he had a good attitude or not. And so I said, where are you from? And because that was my stomping grounds up in around there, you know, it was up Spring Mill Park in Mitchell, Indiana. I said, where are you from? And he told me, he used to play football for Western Kentucky down here. I didn't get his name. I don't know who, you guys might have known him. But, boy, he was a big old dude. And I said, man, I thought maybe. I said, you play football for anybody? I said, you play football when you were in high school? And he said, he said, I played for Western Kentucky. And so he didn't, high school didn't mean a whole lot to him. He wanted to go for bigger things. He didn't want to hear me brag about when I played, I think. But anyway, I didn't play for any college teams. But in talking to him, I just love people. I love to get around people, and I love to get them to thinking and have to say something. And you know, in the process of things, this guy could see that I was a whole lot happier than him. And I was up there doing a funeral. Yeah. But it was for a guy that I'd talked to on the phone. He was one of my old class buddies, and he had died in June, and they was having a memorial service for him. And buddy, did we have a time out there? His wife said, "I want this to be called Celebration of Life." I said, "Praise God, so do I." And boy, we did. And people was bawling and squalling, and laughing, and we had a wonderful time. Amen. And you know, people can tell. Amen. If what you've got inside of you is real. Well, here's the thing. Whatever is inside of me that causes me to be happy and rejoice is in you. There's not one thing in any person in here, amen, that the other person doesn't have. Come on. The only problem is that other person that's not rejoicing in everything has got some other stuff in there. Now, we're going to see this here in just a minute. God gave me a good illustration, Gerald. I can't wait. I can't wait to get to it. It's good. This is good. I liked it myself. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read this to you. I saw something in here this morning, and I wasn't even looking for this. I was looking for one scripture, and I went ahead to, you know, read before and after, because I thought I knew what this all meant. And I really did, but I saw something that I'd never seen before. Paul gave his credentials. He talked about all this stuff, and he said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you, and he talks about all this stuff, and he gets on down through there, and the seventh verse, he talks about Ephraetus, who had his dear servant, who had a faithful ministry of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, here's everything that was being said about them people to Paul were compliments of how good they were doing as being Christians. Now look at this. Here's what I saw that I'd never seen before. For this cause also we, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, how many times have you ever had somebody call you up and say, I saw so-and-so acting like a Christian, let's pray for him? That's what I saw. I thought, you know, most of the time when somebody calls you up and says, we need to pray for somebody, you say, what'd they do? What have they been doing? What's wrong with them? Well, I don't want to tell you. All the reason I want to tell you this is so we can pray. And so after they've told you all that you need to pray for, you say, well, tell me some more. And they say, well, I can't. I've already told you more than I know. I had a woman call me up one day, and she was telling me about these people. This is when I first got down in the Farmington area and pastoring that church. And she's kind of our secretary. She receptionist there in the church. And she calls me and tells me about this person that had come to church Sunday. And she said, now, I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. She said, that's all it sounded like to me. I wasn't listening to nothing. And finally, at the end of it, she said, and I just had to want to tell you all that stuff because she's really a gossip. I said, oh, her too, huh? I'd ended that conversation. But anyway, thank you, Jesus. But how many times, you know, here, now listen, this is what can keep us all on the same playing field. This is what can all keep us. When we hear about something that somebody's doing good, pray for them.
Amen.
Say, praise God. Hey, I want to call you up and tell you I saw so-and-so, and they were just, they are so full of faith and so full of love. And let's pray for them. Let's just pray for them. And the things that Paul prayed, then he gave them some instructions that the things that he was going to be praying for them for. See, when you get to the place, amen, where you're full of faith, where you know that your faith will work, when you know that you have a spirit of love inside of you, amen. See, we're not, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, amen, are not just something that happens once in a while. The gifts of the Spirit are inside of us. They're in our spirit. Every gift of the Spirit, or not the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, is inside our spirit. They're all in there. You know, we used to pray for people to have joy, you know, and I quit doing that a long time ago. How can you pray for somebody to have joy when they've already got it? You know, you can't pray for somebody to have joy when joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit that's living inside of you. You've already got joy. It's not joy that's not present. It's the other things that's present, amen, that's causing the problems. You've got that joy choked down by something. You've got something around that joy keeping it from coming forward. But what's more real to you, the things of God or the things of this world? What's more real to you, your spirit or your flesh or your emotions or your soulish realm? What is more real to you? See, the real you I don't see. The real me you don't see. But the real me and the real you is the same. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. God didn't withhold anything of His Spirit when He gave it to you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Same Spirit. That's a powerful Spirit. I'll tell you what. It's not lacking in any power. And so let's read here. What else here? It says that you might, let's see, that, okay, for this cause, since the day that we heard, we do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that we might be filled, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. All wisdom and in spirit. You know that all wisdom and spiritual understanding is in you? It's all in there. All we've got to do is bring it forward. How do you bring it forward? By reading the Word. By receiving a word from somebody speaking over you. By praying, amen, and releasing what's inside of you in your spirit, man. Said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Boy, I want to be fruitful in every good work, don't you? Fruitful in every good work. How many of you just feel like that you've done stuff and you've tried to help people and you've done these things and just never seen any results? Well, you know, we may lack the wisdom and understanding of God in that. You know, we may not see that. You know, here's the thing that the Bible says that we do. We judge things before their time, don't we? We want to see instant everything. We live in an instant everything. You know, a microwave and instant coffee and instant this and instant that, and everything has to be quick. And we get upset if we're coming home and have to sit 5 minutes waiting in traffic for somebody that's trying to get their wife to the hospital to have a baby. I mean, we don't know what the traffic jam is. Maybe somebody hurt up there and they need to take time. You know, but we think of us, and we've got to get here and we've got to get there. And so we need to have some wisdom and understanding, amen. And I'm convinced of this, that if He says, if you can pray for this, you know, that you might increase in all this, all these things, then we can increase in those things, amen. Wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God. And the things of God, that we can do work, amen, and all of our work will be fruitful. All of our good work will be fruitful. Now, it says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. Strength with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyful. There they go. We have to be patient. Long-suffering with joyfulness. I mean, it's patient. Long-suffering, and you're glad about it. We're a long ways from that, ain't we? That's why Paul said, I think I better pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. I remember one time our little grandson, our oldest grandson, come in. He's just a little bitty fella. And he just had the most distressed look on his face, and he'd been down to these other grandparents. And we said, Dustin Lee, what in the world's the matter with you? He said, oh, he said, Grandma Cameron got her panties in a wad. That means she wasn't joyful in her. Amen. And so Jerry was talking about that all the way down. I said, where did he hear that? He didn't even know what that meant. He was so little, he didn't even know what it meant. But he knew she wasn't joyful. People can tell when you're not joyful. You know, it's not enough just to be patient and long-suffering. There's a guy that goes to another church out there. He's started coming to our church some. They have church at different times, and I won't let him come there. You know, I won't invite him to come full-time because he belongs to this other church. But he works over there. If he wasn't over there, they wouldn't be getting nothing done. But I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you need to quit doing it. Well, if I quit doing it, nobody else would do it. I said, well, let it go undone for a while. I said, besides, I said, you're not getting any reward for it. I said, because you're griping all the time. I said, that's your reward. You griping is your reward. He said, nobody appreciates it. I said, no, but you're getting your reward. You're griping. That's your reward. Gripe, 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 gripe. I said, quit doing it. See, it doesn't make any difference how patient you are and how long-suffering you are if it's not done joyfully. It don't pay off. See, Paul's talking about getting some people here, amen, in a position to where other people will see them and call them Christians. That's what the whole thing's all about. I want to teach you who you are in Christ so other people will know who you are in Christ. I want to teach you who you are so other people will know who you are. Amen. It's not good enough to know who you are on the inside if nobody else can ever tell it. Come on. What is it? That little song we teach our kids to sing? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. What's that other thing they say? If you're happy and you know it, notify your face. We had a new couple come to our church. Our church is growing. Come on, somebody say, praise God. Church, finally, our church is growing. Hallelujah. We was down to the place, if we had a split, we'd only have one person left. And we don't know whether it'd been me or Jerry. Our church is growing, and we had this new couple come in, and Jerry was excited. We got our new praise and worship team going good, and Jerry was up there dancing. And when I got up and started to preach, this couple had come in, and they'd come with another couple that had just come the week before. And I looked over there, and that woman, she looked like a worm in a hawk's nest. I mean, she didn't know where she was at. And normally, I can do pretty good with people, you know. And I was preaching, and I said something, and then I looked over at her, and I said, sister, I said, can you smile? Oh. I said, you're so pretty. I said, you ought to smile. And she didn't. And I thought, I am in trouble. I mean, you know, normally she'd have went, you know, even if she didn't want to, but she was mad at me. And she didn't smile, and I said, mm-hmm. So I said, honey, I'm not picking on you. I said, but I really was, you know, but I didn't want her to think I was. But it was too late. And right in the middle of something else, they got up and left and waved at me. So I'm not going to tell people anymore if you're happy, notify your face, because maybe you're not happy. But they're going to come back, and they said they wanted us to talk to us. There's just some things that they didn't understand. Well, they were Baptist. Come on. Paul never prayed for the Baptist when he said understanding and godly wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. I'll get them. God will get them. The love of God will get them. Even Baptists can't resist it. Come on, we're all Baptists. Rob Buxton is a Baptist. There are more Baptists than our people. With joyfulness, amen, have long-suffering and patience. Now, where did I get to? Is that as far as I've got? Okay. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers. He made us able. He made us worthy. He made us all the things to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In other words, every person, listen to me. He has made you, if there's somebody that's more enlightened to the things of God than you are, you have the same thing they have. Amen? You're worthy of all the things that they have. When you see people that have all this great anointing on them, well, God's got the same thing for you. It may be a different anointing. You know, you may have a different job to do, but I'm going to tell you something. He's made you able to have it. Don't sit around and say, I'm not worthy of the things that God wants to give. He's already given them to you, so you would be worthy. I remember one time at our church, we was just teaching our people to lift their hands. And you know, when you know, that is strange to people when they've not seen that before. You know, I remember the church that I went to before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you raised your hand in that church, they'd say down the hall and to the left and turn off the light when you're through. But it says, lift holy hands unto the Lord. I was teaching that to people, and this one guy said,
oh, I just don't feel like my hands are too holy.
I said, they would be if you lifted them to the Lord. See, we've got spiritual dyslexia when it comes to the things of God. We think that it's what we do that makes it real. No, it's what's real that makes us do it. Yeah. Amen. You know, we need to get to the place where, my hands are holy right now. You know why? Because I got them lifted to the Lord. Amen. My hands are holy. I can lift holy hands to the Lord. Praise God. These are the holy hands right now. I got them lifted to the Lord. I don't have to make my hands holy. I couldn't make my hands holy anyway. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to go through the rest of this real fast, I think. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now that is powerful stuff. Have you got a bucket back there, Shirley? Is there any kind of a bucket? Can I have one of the offering plates? You can just leave the money in if you want to. And there we go. That's good. Bring me two of them. I'm sorry, Shirley. Now, I just saw what I saw over there a while ago. Now, some of this I saw before. So I'm going to do what I did first. It's better. And I'm going to show you what God gave me. All right. But this is, let's just say these are the two covenants. And you put these two covenants down here. And how many of you know, even though the old covenant had already been dissolved, amen, we were in the old covenant before we got saved. Because we were living by the same standards of the old covenant, or trying to. And it was the old covenant standards that had us lost. It was the law, right? And so we were in there. And so let's say that's darkness, okay? That's where we were. If sin is nothing more, I mean, you know, the simplest part of sin, and the more I understand grace and the more I begin to realize how that what Gerald said about the love of God, how that allow the love of God to take grace and get sin out of your life. That's so important for you to see that. That repentance comes after goodness. Come on. When somebody sees the power and love and the goodness of God, they repent. And what do they repent of? It's not so much turning away from the things that you're doing. It's changing the way you think and the way you believe. That's what repentance is. God repented in the Old Testament. Was he a sinner? No. He changed his mind, didn't he? And so when we change our mind and change the way we think. Now, this pen is every one of us, okay? This pen represents people. And I'm just going to put this pen in there, and that pen is in darkness. And it's also in the old covenant. Now, when Jesus died, there was a new covenant established. And when we turned our thoughts to Jesus and cried out to Jesus, He took us out of darkness, took us out of this old covenant, out of this old place over here, out of darkness, and put us in His light. Amen. Now, here's the deal. Here's the thing. What we've tried to do let me say this to you. He did this by His power. Then when He did that by His power, He placed all His power in us. I mean, we're just not some person out here. I hate that term. Now, I hope, if this kills one of your cows, then good. You know, we'll eat him before we go home. Amen. I've killed so many cows, I made Bible covers out of them. Look here. That's cowhide. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. Come on, I am not an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner and I was saved by grace. But now I'm not. Amen, I'm a saint. I've received the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm over here in this light place. I've been taken out of a dark place. How many of you know that if you was taken out of a dark place into a light place, you ought to know the difference? Some of you's eyes are still going like this because you've been in the dark too long. Come on, you're having a hard time seeing, amen, some of the things that other people see, but your eyes are going to clear up.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. God gives you a salve for that, amen. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's inside of you, revealing things of God to you. And so now you're over here in this light. Now, if He has taken you out of this position and put you in this position, you're in a different position. Now, here's the thing about this position over here. I'm going to pick it up for you. You'll see. In this position over here, where rules and regulations and ordinances and all these things were, where we felt like here's the things that we have to do to be a good Christian. Come on, we've been told all the things all of our lives, the things that we have to do to be a good Christian. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm convinced of this. In this chapter here, He said, you guys have been taken out of darkness and put into light, and you're starting to act like a Christian without anybody telling you. You're starting to have faith. You're starting to have love for one another. And He said, I just want to commend you on that. I want to pray for you about that. Now you're going to be able to start understanding the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now you're going to be able to understand all these things. Come on. Is anybody in here? But if we ever take from this, these old things, out of this thing over here, and put it over in here in this new covenant where we are, it ruins it. It ruins this new covenant. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved. You are saved, but you're a miserable Christian. Always upset, always mad at somebody, always complaining, always sick, always this and always that, all those things. And the reason is because we polluted this with what was polluting that. Come on. The Bible says you can't mix it. It's either grace. If grace is grace, it's grace. And not works, because the minute that you mix the two together, you kill both of them. You run the law with grace, and you run grace with the law. You can't have it both ways. Now, I'm saying all these things to say this. Listen to me. So many times we allow our conditions, amen, to rob from our position, amen, that God has placed us in, and He placed us in that position to do something for Him. Are you listening to me? Now, over here, our condition had a lot to do with our position. You know, a matter of fact, we felt like that our condition was keeping us in this, what we felt like was a good position. Well, we found out later, it wasn't. Keeping the law wasn't ever meant to be. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, here's what I want to say to you. Your condition does not control your position in the new covenant. But your position will do wonders for your condition. Do I need to say that again? I've got this down, you see. I know what I'm saying. Your condition, so many times we feel like that it's the things that we do that causes us to be able to be used of God. So therefore we set up standards for ourselves and try to keep them, and then when we fall short, we quit. Is anybody listening to me? He said it's not about that. It's not about conditions. It's about positions. I have taken you out of a place where ordinances and all these things and all these standards were set. I've put you in a place where you're on top already. I've put you in a place, amen, where your position is right with me. And if you know that you are right with me, you can do anything for me.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, what'd you think? I didn't know you. I pulled you out of darkness. You think I didn't know you had some faults? Amen. You think I didn't know that you had some flaws? I pulled you out of darkness. I took you out of a place, amen, of darkness and put you into my light. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that was on you, amen, was on you. But when I put you in there, the power that in that position, amen, took all that stuff out. And your condition is fine with me as far as I'm concerned. So you quit trying to set conditions for yourself. You quit trying to decide. Let me show you something. Now, that Lord showed me that a long time ago, but now I want to show you something else. Let's say that in this position where God put us, how many of you know there's protection in the Lord? Yeah. How many of you know that if God says that He will keep you, He'll keep you?
Yeah.
How many of you know that there's everything that needs to be provided for you to have life and godliness is in His and the knowledge of God? Now, the knowledge of God, you can say, well, I got to study. And that's true, you need to study. But you could just believe what I say. You just could believe what your pastor says. You could just decide one day to believe that God really is for you. Come on. I mean, that can happen in a second. One of the things that we teach, you know, and I know, I'm sure Gerald has taught this coming up to these meetings is in Ephesians 4. Where it talks about where we're trying to bring, where ministry, the fivefold ministry is trying to bring people to a place of ministry. But one of the things it says it'll do, the thing that ministry does then is bring other people to a place, amen, to the full stature of Christ. And it says something else real interesting, is it says until we all come in to unity and to the same faith of Christ. Till we all come into unity of faith, is what it says. Unity of faith. Now, I want to ask you a question. Gerald said the faith that we live by is Jesus' faith and what He's done for us. It's not what we can do for Him, it's what He's done for us. Amen. Now, that's true. Our faith, you know, it's what's been our faith. We've done all kinds of things to build our faith. I preached a message one time, got thrown out after that, never been back here since, but I preached it. I'd like to go back in and preach it again. I said, you know, we have done all kinds of things trying to build our faith. I said, that's an arrogant thing to think that we can improve on something that God give us. Whose faith have you got? Who give it to you? How are you going to build it? The Bible says there's a way to build your faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. We build our, but you know what? God didn't give us faith for us to build it. God gave us faith for it to build us. For it to change our mind. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We build ourselves up. I went to bed praying in tongues last night. Got up with the interpretation. Too early. Thank you, Jesus. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, so it's an arrogant thing to think that we're going to improve something that God gave us, right? So He's given us everything we need. You know, He equipped us, amen, to do the things. Now we as ministers have all this. We understand this. And so we're teaching it to other people so they can become ministers and do the work of the ministry. And your work then is that we're build you up into unity of faith. Now, if we took everybody in this room, and if we took the brother here, brother
Cole.
Last name's not Younger, is it?
I quit my middle name.
Ah! Anyway, if we took this and put a Cole, and your name's Sherry,
yeah,
and if it's separate, and just have them whisper in the ear, here's my opinion of God, and wrote every one of them down without the other person seeing them, and went all the way around, and if we got up here and read everybody's opinion of God in here, there wouldn't be any unity of faith in it at all. And we think that when we all get together believing the same thing about God is when we're going to unify in faith. No, that's not when it is. When we're going to unify in faith is when we all believe what God believes about us. And if God was here, He wouldn't have to whisper in each one of you's ear what He believes about you. He'd just say it to all of you because He believes the same thing about every one of us. No mess up of interpretation. And you know what it would be? I love you. Unify your faith around that. Unify your faith around knowing that God loves you and I'm for you. Amen. And when we get our faith unified around that, when everybody in this church believes that, then you know what? We won't have to minister so much to each other. We'll be going out there ministering to people, amen, that needs to hear what we know. You understand what I'm saying? I get tired of people saying, that person's coming to your church, boy, they're high maintenance. Oh, I might have to use Jesus on them. Our program might not work. Come on. We might have to go to the big guns here. We might have to go to Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There ain't no such thing as high maintenance. Come on now. You know, if you're high maintenance, it's because you don't know who you are.
Come on. Come on.
What are you doing working on yourself? Those tools are for somebody else. We're equipping the saints, amen. We're equipping the saints. You understand what I'm saying? We're equipping the saints. For what? To work on them? No, to work on somebody else, amen. We're equipping you. You don't equip something, amen, that's not equipped. We're giving you some equipment. We're giving you something to use on somebody else. You know, we don't need to be working on ourselves all the time. I say this all the time. Say this with me. I'm fixed.
I'm fixed.
Hallelujah. When you say that, they're always thinking about, you know, the way you fix a dog or a cat. But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, amen, that there's nothing wrong with you that a little bit of Jesus won't cure. And if a little bit won't, a whole lot will.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's just say that we were taken out of a place of danger and put into a place of safety.
Thank you.
Let's say that we are the only person in a padded cell. That's where Christians need to be put because they hurt themselves more than anybody else hurts them. But we're put in a padded cell for a different reason. We're put in a padded cell because the world is shaken. Well, you know what? Who cares? You're in a padded cell. The earth can shake all it wants to. It can do anything. It can turn upside down. You're in a padded cell. Amen. Hey, there's not one thing that the earth can do to you. You're in a place of safety. Amen. God has placed you in a place of safety. Come on. The only thing that might possibly hurt you in that padded cell, I get this, if you brought an anvil in with you. Anything that's in there besides you can hurt you. Even though you're in a padded cell, it's going to hit you sometime or other. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And don't we bring things in? We pick up other people's offenses. We see somebody doing something and we judge them. We do all these things and then wonder why our padded cell's not safe. We got our eyes in the wrong place. Now, I want to read on down and I'm going to quit. I got tonight yet. Praise God. I got to go home and get a message. But anyway, I wasn't going to read any further than the 13th verse, but I just want to read this. I'm not going to say anything, I don't think. In whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities and powers, all things that were created by him, or all things that were created, were all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, does that tell you that Jesus needs to be first in your life? Does that tell you he's first whether you put him first or not? So if he's first, whether you put him first or not, how long do you think it would take for him to be first in your life again? It's not like he has to work his way back up. Are you following what I'm saying? I had somebody tell me one time, they said, how do you put Jesus first in your life? I said, well, you know, if I wake up in the morning and if I'm thinking about anything rather than Jesus, I start thinking about Jesus. I pray. I read the Word. And I never argue with a situation about whether if it's against me, it's not God. You understand what I'm saying? When Paul said, pray without ceasing, I don't think that Paul meant for us to bow our heads and close our eyes and drive down the road praying constantly all the time. We'd kill somebody. But I think the way that you pray is agreeing with God. Amen. You agree with God and you stay in agreement with God. And here's the best way in the world to agree with God. God is for you and loves you, and the devil's against you and hates you. Amen? And don't ever let the two entwine, because when you do, you're putting something in your padded cell with you. And this earth is shaking, and the next thing you know, those things that you bring in there that's like that will start hitting you, amen, instead of the padded cell. God is for you, and he's not against you. God is for you. You have the power inside of you. It's just like what Gerald said about say something to somebody and watch that Holy Ghost work inside them. And then lean back on that Holy Spirit that's inside of you. And know, amen, that when you're talking to somebody, that Holy Spirit knows them. That Holy Spirit knows every thought that they're thinking. That Holy Spirit can tell you things about that person, amen, and you'll be able to say something that will open their eyes. We've got a powerful tool. We've got a powerful tool inside of us. I wonder what the apostle, and I'm not trying to put any condemnation on anybody, but I wonder what the apostle Paul would think of the church today. Gerald, have you ever thought about that? And, you know, what he would, how he would evaluate it, and the word of encouragement that he would give, what would he say? Well, he just said it. He just said it right here. He just said it. This is his word, amen. This is God's word to you. This is God's word to you, speaking to you today just as real as if it was written yesterday. And he's saying these things, and he says, look at this. For he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And look at this. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, look at this, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And then the next verse, I had a guy bring this verse to me one time after I was preaching grace, and he said, look at this. It says, if we continue in the faith. But he didn't read the rest of it. Look at the rest of it. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which we preach to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You know, so many people think that when it says if you continue in the faith, means if you continue in works. But it says, no, here's what you continue in. You continue in the good news. You continue in the good news. And the good news is, amen, Jesus Christ died for you. The good news is, we just read the good news, and it says that you were presented to God holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight, in God's sight. That's the way you're presented to God. And you know what? You're the same today. That's the way it was when you were presented to Him. Jesus took you right straight to God and said, here's a child, here's another child. And He said, and He's holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. And that's the way God saw you. And you know what? There's nothing you can do to change that. You look the same today as you did then. Come on. Now, how many of you could leave this building today seeing yourself holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight? Do you think that that might put a little bit of a skip in your step? Do you think that that might cause you, amen, to think that you might have something to offer somebody else? Old Dave Duell, I love Dave Duell, and he's a character, but he says, somebody says, who do you think you are, a little Jesus? He said, yep. And you know, he says, that's what we are. We've been conformed to His image. Amen. We've been conformed to the image of God. And you know, they saw Jesus doing good stuff and didn't believe it was God. But today, amen, we have Jesus to talk about. Jesus did good stuff, amen. And we say we believe in Him, and now we can do the same works. He said, if you believe in me, He said, the works that I do, even greater works than you do, shall you do. I had a guy, I was preaching one time, and I preached that, and he said, I don't care if it is in the Bible, I don't believe it. I said, I know it. And I went right on, amen. I know he didn't believe it, but I did. And I saw works. And you say, well, how can you see greater works than Jesus? There's more of us. Philip can be doing a miracle. Praise God down around here. Where are you from? Berksville or Barksville or what is that down there? Huh? He could be doing a miracle down there, and I could be doing a miracle in Park Hills, Missouri. Praise God. And there'd be two miracles instead of one. It's greater works, isn't it? Where there's more of us. Let me ask you a question. How many in here has ever just wanted to lay hands on somebody? I'm not talking about suddenly and slapping them or anything like that. I'm talking about when they were just talking. Yep, 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 yep. My gallstones are bigger than yours. And have you just wanted to just go, whack, in the name of Jesus? How many has ever wanted to do that? Huh? Let me see your hands. Come on. How many really wanted to do it? How many wanted to lay hands on somebody and pray for them? For sickness. Come on. Come on. Set your hands up. Well, you've got my permission. And you've got God's. As a minister of God, I've given you permission. Just like Paul would, amen. Just like Jesus said, go and lay hands on the sick. Heal the sick, he said. Cleanse the leper. Give sight to the blind. Raise the dead. Glory to God. It can happen. I've never seen anything like that. Well, have you ever prayed for anybody? If you've never prayed for anybody, you ain't ever going to see it. I found out that God would heal. I found that out. You know how I found out God would heal? I prayed for somebody. I prayed for a blind man, and his eyes opened. And the guy that was with me took me over there, and he was afraid to pray for him. And he was a preacher. He was the one that believed this. He was the one that was teaching it to me. And he said, well, we'll just do that. I said, no, I want to lay hands on him. And when he saw, I was more surprised than anybody in the room. Everybody says you can't have any doubt. I've never done anything that I wasn't doubting. Oh, boy, God, I hope this is you. I hope this is you. You know, and if it is, you can go, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Praise God. But you know what? The doubt don't keep me from doing it. That's the only difference in a lot of people, amen. They may not have as much doubt as you have, amen, because their doubt didn't keep them from doing it. But I'll guarantee you they had some doubts, amen. We all have doubts because we live in this thing, amen, and this is the worst thing about it. And I've had doubts lots of times, but I was persuaded beyond my doubt. I got persuaded beyond my doubt, and I went ahead and done it. You think that Peter, you think that Peter just started doubting after he started walking on the water? He was doubting when he got out of the boat. But he had enough faith, amen, to step out. He was persuaded beyond that doubt. But then the real getter was that he knew he couldn't walk on windy water. Just overcome him. Come on. He was doing all right on that smooth water, but buddy, when that wind started blowing, he went down. But you know, we just need to, how much does this mean to you? I was sitting there a minute ago reading the words of those songs, and I was just thinking how much, you know, we sing songs sometimes, and you know, I really would like to know the inspiration behind some of those songs. I'd really like to know how God was speaking to that person when they wrote those songs, because those words mean so much to me. And as a matter of fact, I get more out of reading the words sometimes than I do singing them, because I get to hear myself sing, and I get so caught up in my beautiful voice, I don't know how to do. And so I was reading those words, and I was thinking, I remember one time I want to end with this. I remember I had my oldest daughter had her first baby boy, and it was my mom and dad's first grandchild. And my mother, I was littlest one, the youngest one, so I got to go with my mom and dad a lot of places that I didn't really want to go, but I went anyway. And we was always going around visiting neighbors, and my dad was a big man in the horse and mule business, and we'd go visit those people. And one time we went to this one guy's house, and all they wanted to talk about was their new grandbaby. I remember on the way home, my dad looked over at my mom, and my mother's name was Fern, and my dad him and my mom had a good relationship. They were old-fashioned people. Both of them got saved before they died, thank God, but they weren't Christians, but they weren't bad either. And so he looked over at my mom, and he said, "Now, Fern," he said, "we want to remember that everybody is not going to be as excited about our grandchild." They hadn't had him yet, as the people are, as the grandparents are. He said, "We want to remember that." In other words, they bored them to death looking at those pictures. And she said, "Yes, I know." Well, that was the way it was until they had their grandchild. and when they lived in Louisville, Kentucky, my sister did, and so when they come down home and to Paoli, why, my dad took that baby when he was just a baby. I mean, he shouldn't even been out of the house. And took him in town, walked around the square with him, showed him to everybody. And I sat there thinking, looking at those words on those songs, and I thought, you know, why can't everybody be as excited about this gift that we have? Why can't everybody be as excited, amen, why are some people more excited than other people? I don't think it ought to be that way. I think that everybody in here ought to be so excited about this precious gift that we've been given and the power of God that lives inside of us to help people. It breaks my heart to see some things on television when somebody is in trouble and the whole United States gets together and tries to help that person that are not even Christians. And they don't have any help for them. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they don't really have it. We've got the answer. We've got the help. Come on, let's get excited about it. Can we do that? Can you stir up that gift that's within you? Can you get excited this morning about what God has placed inside of you and start sharing it with everybody you see? Everybody. What difference does it make? You say, well, I'm afraid I'll turn them off. You can't turn them off if they ain't turned on. How can you? I heard a guy say one time, you can't hurt a blind man by shining a light in his eyes. He ain't going to hurt him. Come on. How many degrees of loss can a person be? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody excited this morning? Man, I am. I've got my shuck lit. Praise God. It's on fire. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I can pray for you. I can pray for boldness in you. It's scriptural to do that. I've prayed for boldness all over the United States and halfway around the world. And so I know that that's scriptural. But I don't want to take the time to lay hands on you individually and pray for boldness for you. I don't want to try to pull something out of you, praise God, or put something in you that you don't already have. You've got everything it takes to be able to be a soul winner. You are a soul winner. God created you that way. And you can't say, well, I'm just... No, you're not. You're not just anything anymore. You are a born-again Christian, amen, with the power of God living inside of you, and you're a different person. You're not that shy person that can't talk to anybody. Come on. Man, when I got saved, I was bashful. I felt inferior to everybody because of, you know, of the way I talked. And I remember the first time I ever preached in front of Rod Bucks, and I found out he was a college professor, and I thought, oh, Lord, I hope he's not an English teacher. I know that I butcher the English language, but you know what? I don't give a rip. I know Jesus. Amen. I know what God's done for me, and I know what He can do in you and through you, praise God, and you need to be having a new testimony every day of your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's easy to talk to people. Open your mouth and spit something out. Amen. You know, if you can't do anything else, tell them their kids are pretty. Yeah. Kiss babies. Politicians do that. Amen. All they're trying to do is get a vote. People like for you to brag on their kids.
That's right.
They love that stuff. Thank you, Jesus. We're not trying to pull some kind of thing here. We're just, hey, be a Christian. Try that. Try that. It might work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gerald, I don't know how to end this. You can tell that, can't you? Blah, 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 blah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand. If you come today and you know, I know this church is accustomed to laying hands on you. If you come today and you need healing in your body, I want you to just stay where you are, and we're gonna pray for you. How many believe you can be healed right there in your seat? Amen. And a matter of fact, if you need to, if somebody in here, if you know somebody in here that needs healing in their body, this would be a good time for you to practice a little bit. Amen. And just go lay hands on them and exercise the gift that's within you. Exercise your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you so much for what you've put inside of us. I thank you so much, Father, that we are equipped. You have equipped us with everything. You haven't withheld one good thing from us, God. And we want to know what all those things are. We want to know that they're already in there. But God, we want to know how to use them. We want to know how to exercise, God, in those areas, and how to use that gift that you've placed in us. But God, the motivation. The whole motivation between every gift and everything that you've placed in us is a little word called love. And Lord, before you give us anything, you loved us. And you are love, God, and you put that inside of our hearts. And God, let us be moved now by our hearts that's filled with your love. And then watch what love can do. We thank you, Father. I thank you for this congregation. I speak healing to everybody in here. I speak healing to every person's body in here that needs healed. Regardless of what it is, Father, we believe for that healing. in Jesus' precious name, in the powerful name of Jesus. God, you equipped us. You made us perfect on the inside. Now, God, release that perfection from our spirit into our soul, and let our soul believe it, and then let it flood out through our flesh and through our body, God, and receive that healing, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen to that prayer. And then I don't know that everybody in here is saved. If there's anybody in here today that needs to ask Jesus into your heart, we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. Have you got your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Is there anyone in here that needs to know Jesus Christ this morning? Say, I've never asked him into my heart. I don't know about this salvation that you've been talking about and this power that you've been speaking. I don't see any hands, but I'm just going to pray a simple prayer just in case that you didn't raise your hand, because I'm going to tell you something. God knows your heart, and he knows your heart cry. And Father, I just believe right now that there may be someone in here crying out to you. And so, God, we just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. And from this day forward, I will confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I got to thinking a lot about what he was talking about, those expressions, condition and position. When you keep looking at your condition, you can never understand your position.
That's right.
But if you can ever understand your position in Christ Jesus, when you understand your position, it will begin to change your condition.
Amen. It does.
And that's what we need to focus on. And it comes back. It comes back in a roundabout way to something we said, I believe it was last week. We need to stop telling God how big our problem is, how big our mountain is, and start telling our mountain how big our God is. Amen. Now, as we're dismissed, we're going to have an offering container on the back table. We're going to receive an offering, a love offering for Brother Clifton and Jerry. And I want you to be generous. I want you to be faithful and be obedient to God. That's all we have to do, is just be obedient to God. You know, that'll take a whole lot off of us. You know, Lord, what do you want me to give? He gives the number, figure, and you give it. He gives a figure and you say, but God, that's too much. Then you and God's going to have to negotiate. God is not a negotiator. He just tells you the way it is, and you're supposed to do it. But if you're going to make out a check, make it out to New Life. We're going to be back here tonight. Hope you are. God will bless you. God will touch you. Hey, this is a special day today. This is camp meeting day at New Life. Now, just be faithful in your giving. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you, Lord God, for the Word. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for the word that we heard last week and for the word that we've heard this week. For the word of God that we hear, Lord God, by your Spirit. And I thank you, Father, for blessing each person as they give this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for abundance, for an abundant reward given to be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Thank you, Lord God, for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come by the book table back here and check it out. Come back tonight. Let God bless you. Amen.